We're in the middle of our series looking at the life of David. And really, the series isn't about our David at all. He's just the case study. The series is about what makes or breaks our lives. And what makes or breaks our lives is our hearts. And the foundation of our series comes out of 1 Samuel 16:7. That says that God doesn't look at what people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. That the Lord doesn't look at what we look at. The Lord doesn't you know, equate success and victories and to all the things that the world looks at, but the Lord, he looks at our hearts. And as we began this series a few weeks ago, we discovered that heart character is far more important than beauty or wealth or popularity or status. And so God, he's after our heart. He's not after our behavior. He's not after our wallets. He's after our hearts, because he knows that everything in our lives follow after that. The second week, we saw that courage is doing the right thing no matter what the outcome maybe, and that we can take courage because we have a representative who fights for us named Jesus Christ. And we talked about this big theological word, imputed, that we're imputed. In other words, we get credit for everything he did. And so that's what gives us courage. And then last week, we saw that envy, that's a heart problem, and that envy robs us of our ability to be able to celebrate others and enjoy what we have. And so this morning, we're going to take another step in this series as we look at our hearts, and what's very dear and close and dear to our hearts is our friends. And so we're going to talk about friendships this morning. And I just want to kind of give you where we're going up front, and then we'll kind of unpack them as we go along. But we're going to talk about four things as it involves friendship. We're going to talk about the importance of friendship this morning, okay? We're going to look at the different parts of friendship. We're going to talk about the power of friendship and the possibility of friendship. So we're going to unpack those four things. We've got journals that we've been handing out. We've got several journals on the back tables. And so if you don't have your journal, you forgot yours or you want one, feel free to go get up and go get a journal and a pen. You're not going to bother me, okay? I can't see past the third row anyway, so I'm not going to see you. But if you want to grab a journal and take some notes and write some God thoughts down, I'd encourage you to do that. We're going to learn a lot about friendship this morning, not by what I have to say, but what God's word has to say. And I think it'll be beneficial for all of us, whether we're, you know, in fifth or sixth grade or you know, we're senior adults. And God has a lot to say about friendships this morning. So find you a journal if you want one. We got plenty of them back there, and we'll get started. So we're going to look this morning at the friendship that Jonathan and David shared, and we're going to learn a lot about friendship. So if you have your Bibles, turn to your table of contents and find the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, okay? The Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. In fact, if you just want to put a paperclip there or something, we're going to be in 1 and 2 Samuel until mid-April. But it's the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. And we're going to look at three different chapters this morning. And I figured that'd be okay with everybody, because it really doesn't matter how long we go, because the Cowboys aren't playing today anyway, right? No, I'm just joking. I'll get us out on time, maybe. We're going to look at this, what God has to say about friendship and the life of David. So let's talk about 1 Samuel chapter 18. You pull it up on your phones, or we'll throw it up on the screen here. Let's talk about the importance of friendship, okay? Let's recap a little bit. Catch everybody up. So David, he's a little shepherd boy. He's been anointed the next king, or a king, future king of Israel. And David shows up. There's this standoff between the Philistine army and the Israeli army, between Goliath and the army of Israel, and there's a standoff. And so Goliath hears the taunts David hears the taunts that Goliath is throwing out. And so David, he goes out and takes on Goliath, and he kills Goliath. And so Saul, King Saul, brings David into his household, okay? And after his great victory over Goliath, and from chapters 18 to chapter 20, King Saul, he's the king of Israel, he becomes very envious, and we talked about this last week, becomes very envious of all of David's popularity and David's successes, and becomes so envious that he tries to kill David six times. Okay, tries to kill him six times. And it's during this dangerous time period in David's life that he makes this friendship with this guy named Jonathan. And this friendship's complicated because Jonathan is King Saul's son and next heir, really legal heir, to the throne. But it's during this hard time that David and Jonathan develop this deep, deep friendship. In fact, David and Jonathan, we see in chapter 18, verse 3, that they make a covenant with one another. Look at verse 3 of chapter 18. It says, and Jonathan made a covenant. That's a commitment, a contract. We're not breaking this deal. A covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Now, when two people in this time period would make a covenant, they would take an animal and they would cut the animal in two and into pieces and separate the pieces, and both people would walk through those pieces of animal. And it was an outward symbol to say, hey, if I break my commitment to you, may I become like these pieces of animal. Okay, that's how serious it was. I mean, you did not break a covenant. And so these two guys, they develop this deep friendship with one another, and they make a covenant with one another. And it's David's friendship with Jonathan that made all the evil and all the pain and all the heartache between Saul and David livable. It made it tolerable. It made it survivable. In fact, if you look in chapter 19, verses 4 and 5, you see the importance of friendship. It says, Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, let not the king do wrong to his servant David. He has not wronged you, and what he has done has benefited you greatly. He took his life in his hands. In other words, he risked it all when he killed the Philistine. And then the Lord won a great victory for all of Israel. And you saw it and you were glad. And why then would you do wrong to an innocent man like David by killing him for no reason? See, David would not have survived this time period without his friendship with David. And here we see the importance of having friends in our lives that maybe we hadn't had six attempts on our life, okay? But there's going to come a time in our lives that we're going to face difficult circumstances. There's going to come a time in our life. Maybe it's a financial circumstance. Maybe it's a relational circumstance. Maybe something going on with the kids. But there's going to come times in our life that we're going to face heartache, that we're going to face difficult circumstances and impossible situations, that we're going to face trials, and we're going to face storms. And these storms have the potential to sink us if we don't have the right friends around us. Because we'll never make it through life without close friends. And here we see the importance of friendship, because friendship has a sustaining impact on our lives. True friends have a sustaining effect on our lives. And even now, we're starting to kind of recount those difficult circumstances that we faced and pictures of friends' faces that were so key and instrumental during that time period are coming to our mind. So the importance of friends, that we see that right out of the bat. Now, there's different parts of friends, of friendships, okay? And there's three different parts of friendship. And it's constant, transparent, and sympathetic, okay? These are the three parts of what makes a friend a really good friend, a really true friend. And we see in the life of the friendship of Jonathan and David, but that friends are constant, transparent, and sympathetic. Let me just kind of unpack this a little bit. So we see that true friends are constant. So here in chapter 18, verse 3, is the beginning of their friendship, the beginning of their relationship, and they form this covenant. They make this agreement with one another. And then if you'll flip over to the end of chapter 20, in verse 40, we see how constant that their friendship has been, that they've experienced highs, they've experienced lows, they've experienced seasons that they hadn't seen each other. And so we get to verse 40. It says, and then Jonathan gave his weapons to his armor bearer and said, go carry them back to town. So David, he's hiding from King Saul. And after the boy had gone, David got up from the south side of the stone and bowed down before Jonathan three times. And with his face to the ground, they kissed each other and wept together. But David wept the most. And Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for we have sworn. He's going back to verse 3 of chapter 18. It says, go in peace, for we have a sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying that the Lord is witness between you and me and between your descendants and my descendants forever. And then David left, and Jonathan went back to town. So, I mean, it's a little bit more in this, but for simplicity and for argument's sake, friendships and relationships can kind of go in one or two categories. And I know there's more, but for argument's sake, for this morning, one or two categories. Either a covenant friendship or a consumer friendship. Okay, either a covenant friendship or a consumer friendship. And there's a difference between the two. A consumer friendship says, hey, my needs come before your needs. Okay, that's a consumer friendship. My needs before your needs. A covenant friendship says your needs before my needs. Okay, I mean, that's a huge difference. Okay, a consumer friendship says that, you know, this friendship is going to revolve around me, okay? A covenant friendship says, hey, this friendship is going to revolve around the Lord, but you're going to be the priority, okay? A consumer friendship says that if circumstances get difficult or circumstances change and I no longer am getting what I need out of the relationship or the friendship, I'm bailing. But a covenant friendship or relationship says, I'm in this for the long haul. It doesn't matter the distance that comes between us. It doesn't matter the time that comes between us, that I am here and you can count on me. That's the difference between a consumer friendship and a covenant friendship. And a covenant friendship, it's constant. And yeah, there may be seasons that you don't see each other or talk to each other very much. But when you get back together, it's almost like you never were apart. You pick up where you left off because you're constant with one another. So that's one characteristic of a true friendship is that they're constant. Another characteristic is that they're transparent. They're transparent. Look back at chapter 18, verses 1 and 2. It says, and David had finished talking with King Saul, and Jonathan became one in spirit with David. And he loved him as himself. And from that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return home to his family. So to be one in spirit means to be transparent. To be one in spirit means to be transparent, which means that we allow friends to see in. That we allow friends to see in. Now, there's four ways of transparency. Let me just give them to you, and they're pretty self-explanatory, okay? But four ways of transparency. Number one is that friends let you see their deepest feelings. That friends let you see their deepest feelings. Now, what we have here in this story is we have two warrior men, okay? We have two battle-tested men. You've got one guy who slayed a giant and cut off his head all by himself, and you've got another guy in Jonathan who wiped out an entire army by himself, okay? So when you think man's man, these two guys come to mind. And here they are. It says that they are weeping with one another. Okay? They're not holding anything back. They're weeping. It's not like when you're at the movies, guys, and your eyes start to water, and you get that like lump in your throat, okay? That's kind of how I am at the movies, all right? I get choked up, you know, and everybody's looking at me, you know, and I'm biting my lip, and you know, I'm taking a drink, trying to get that lump in my throat to go down. That's not what these guys are doing. These guys are weeping with one another. These guys are crying, they're sobbing, they're snotting all over themselves, okay? They're not holding anything back. They're letting one another see their deepest feelings and emotions, and that's what true friends do. Second way of transparency is that friends let you see into their everyday life. That friends let you see into their everyday life. Let me just ask you, what that means is that we bring friends into the everyday, the unguarded, the mundane, the unmasked part of life. And so let me just ask, do you have any friends that you'll get a text from and they're saying, hey, we're in the neighborhood, we've got 30 minutes where we have to pick up our kid and we're stopping by. And you don't even flinch to clean up the house. You got any friends like that? There's not even a, okay? You've got a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old who have ransacked the house like crazy lunatics all day, okay? You've got teenagers who have hung out all day and all night and it stinks like a locker room. And you get that text, and there's not even a flinch to try to straighten everything up. When you get that text, there's not even a flinch or a consideration that you need to change out of the sweatpants that you've had on since Tuesday. Because of this, you let them in to the everyday, mundane, unmasked, unguarded part of your life. Thirdly, third way of transparency is friends let you see into their decisions. Now, this takes friendship beyond socializing. This takes friendship to the next level. Because every one of us have friends and we love to go out and we love to have a good time. But what takes friendship to the next level is when we invite our friends into the decision-making process of our lives. Is when we sit down over dinner or a bottle of wine or a cup of coffee and we say, we're trying to make this decision and, we got option A and option B and here's the fallout of option A and here's the fallout of B and here's the pros and cons of A, here's the pros and cons of B. We just need some perspective. We don't really know what quite to do. We got an opportunity to take this promotion or take this, whatever, or to relocate, or, our teenager's been, missed curfew 3 times and we don't really, is it time to go nuclear and take the phone and take the car and, everything, take the door off the hinge? What do we do? We're trying to make a decision here. And what takes friendship to the next level, if you let people in on the decision-making process before the decision is made. And then you got so much more than just a supper club at that point. And the fourth way of transparency is that friends let you see their flaws and weaknesses. That Hebrews 3:13 says, but encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. See, we need people in our lives who will help us see our blind spots. We need people in our lives who are going to help us see our blind spots, because the truth of the matter is the flaws that dominate our lives the most are the flaws that are hidden the most. The flaws that dominate our lives the most are the flaws that are hidden the most. They're the flaws that we don't see anymore. It's kind of like, you know, you just you just painted the hallway. It's a brand new fresh coat of paint, and it is a bright daylight white, okay? And you just get it repainted, and then the first week, your husband walks in with his golf clubs, and he just drags that bag down the whole hallway and leaves this big black mark down the hallway. And it bothers you at first, and you're like, oh, I can't believe I'm again. And then, you know, weeks go by, months go by, and you don't even see it anymore. Until somebody comes in and says, what happened here? Oh, yeah, that happened 7 months ago. My idiot husband, you know, and then you get all mad again. No, but that's how flaws are. We don't see them anymore. They're hidden from us. We just kind of pass over them. We don't think they're that big of a deal. But we need some people in our lives that will speak to the flaws in our lives. And our only hope for spiritual growth, our only hope for transformation in our lives is if we would deputize some people in our lives. If we'll symbolically give them a badge and say, I give you permission, I give you freedom, and I give you authority to speak into my life. And I promise you, I will try not to get mad, and I'll try not to blow up, and I'll try not to cuss you out. And I'll try to remember this day when I deputized you and gave you freedom to speak into my life. That's what we need as friends. Who are those friends in our lives? And the last quality of true friends is that friends are sympathetic. That friends are sympathetic. That word sympathetic, it comes from the Latin simpatico, and it means common passion. Now, unfortunately, with this characteristic of friendship, this cannot be created. It has to be found. It has to be discovered in our lives. And the common passion between Jonathan and David was the Lord. And it's because of their common passion that their friendship was constant. And you get to verse 42 in chapter 20, and it says that, and Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other, and in the name of the Lord, saying that the Lord is witness between you and me. And you know what? They never saw each other again. But friendships that have the Lord as the common passion, there's just something different about them. I mean, your common passion could be college football. Your common passion could be traveling. Your common passion could be coffee. Your common passion could be wine. Your common passion could be finding off the beaten path restaurants. Whatever your common passion is, but for those friendships that your common passion is the Lord, there's just something unbreakable and inseparable. There's just a bond between the two of you that. It lasts a lifetime. And that's what Jonathan and David had. They had this common bond that was the Lord. And that's what made them great, dear heart friends. So those are the different parts of friendship. And you know, we hear that and we think, man, I want friends like that. I want to surround myself with friends like that, but how in the world, you know, where do we get the power to be a friend like that, right? I mean, we all want friends like that, but where do we get the power to be a friend like that? Jonathan was a life-changing friend. Jonathan was a life-transforming friend. I mean, you think about it, David was saved by Jonathan, literally saved his life. And not only did he save his life, but he was released to be who he was supposed to be, all because of Jonathan. We talked about this last week, that Jonathan, he takes off his robe. And back in this day, the robe represented your position. And Jonathan, when he gave his robe to David, he was saying, I'm surrendering my crown rights to you. I'm surrendering my legal rights to the throne to you. And then not only that, but Jonathan takes off his sword and he hands it to David. And he makes himself completely vulnerable to his number one rivalry. And these two acts, what Jonathan was telling David was, I am here to serve you and serve you to the death. And Jonathan, he was a loyal son and he was a loyal friend. I mean, he saved David and released him to be all that David was supposed to be, but he also remained a loyal son to his father. And as a result, he never left his father's side and followed his father into what would basically result in a suicide mission and lost his life. And here we see, we can pull into the text Proverbs 27:6 that says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And what this means, what the writer is saying in Proverbs 27:6, he said, what that means is faithful are the wounds inflicted by a friend. It goes back to giving somebody the power and authority to speak into your life. Faithful are the wounds inflicted by a friend. But when we see Jonathan stripping himself of his royalty, stripping himself of his rights, making himself vulnerable to David so that David can become king, we see the other side of that verse of 27:6. And what we see is that we see faithful are the wounds endured by a friend. How many of us are where we are today because of the wounds that a friend endured on our behalf? The wounds a parent endured, the wounds of a friend, the wounds of a family member endured on our behalf, and we are where we are today because they endured them. I'm not sure we could ever be friends like Jonathan, but we do have a power that Jonathan didn't have, and his name is Jesus. In John 15:15, and get ready to read along with me. Get ready to play along. I'll cue you. Just want to give you a heads up there. But in John 15:15, Jesus says this, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. That I've called you what? Friends. That's what Jesus calls us. He calls us friends. For everything that I've learned from the Father, I've made known to you. Everything Jesus learned from his Father, he's made known to us through his word. A couple of verses before that, in verse 13, get ready to read along. It says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And David was saved. David became king because of the wounds of his friend. And what David and Jonathan didn't know that we know, because we're on this side of the cross and resurrection, is that the Lord himself came into the world as the ultimate friend. And Jesus Christ took off his robe. He took off his right to the throne. He lost his throne. He made himself vulnerable. He made himself killable to where he was killed on the cross for our sins. But Jesus, he stayed true. He stayed loyal. He stayed loyal to God's reckless love for us by enduring the cross, but he also stayed true to God's eternal justice towards us by dying on the cross. And Jesus Christ lived the life that we can't live, and he died the death that we deserve, and we get credit for everything Jesus did in life and in death. That's what gives us the power. And if David was saved and released to his fullest potential through the wounds of Jonathan, how much more will we be saved and released to our fullest potential if we embrace Jesus Christ as our ultimate friend? How much more? Because Jesus is the better Jonathan. He's the ultimate Jonathan. And one more thing about Jesus, and then the band will come and close us out. Jesus is the one friend who will never let us down. He's the one friend who will never let us down. I mean, Jesus, he's at the end of his life. He's about to be arrested. He's just celebrated Passover with his disciples, and he goes into the Mount of Olives to pray, and he tells his friends, he says, hey, stay here, pray for me. I need your prayers. And he goes and prays with his father. He comes to check on his buddies, and his friends are asleep. And he says, guys, I need you right now. Please, I need you. I need you praying for me. And he goes back to pray to his father. And he says, God, if there's any other way to do this, if there's any other this way to save the world, if there's a plan B, let's go with plan B. And his heavenly father said, and you can either take on hell and save your friends or skip out on hell and lose your friends. And Jesus said, I'll take hell. I'll go to hell and back for my friends. And then to the degree that we get the gospel, to the degree that we know that we're accepted and approved and loved by God based on what Jesus Christ has done for us, to that degree, we will be freed up to accept and approve and love other people. To the degree we get the gospel, to that degree, we can be transparent with people. And you know why? Because we don't have to impress them anymore. To the degree that we understand and grasp that we have been accepted and approved and loved by God through the performance of Jesus Christ, to that degree, we can be transparent because you know what? It doesn't matter what the world thinks. Because whose opinion is higher than the creator of the universe? Nobody's. So it doesn't matter what they think. Take that to junior high with you. It doesn't matter what they think. Take that to high school. Take that to college. Take that into your careers. Take that for the rest of our lives until we go into eternity. It doesn't matter what the world thinks because the creator of the universe thinks that I'm lovable and I'm acceptable and I'm approved by him. That's what frees us. That's what gives us the power and the possibility to be the friends that this world longs for. Jesus Christ is the one friend that will never let us down. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. The band's going to come just to lead us in a song. Just to remind us of his love for us. And I'm going to ask the prayer team just to, if you guys would kind of take your place. Because I believe that there are some of us in this room today, we have been reminded of the wounds we have been carrying around because of friends. Because of the letdown and the disappointment of friends. And maybe you just need somebody just to pray for you. Maybe you're here today and you realize, man, you got a lot of friends, a lot of acquaintance, but you need one true ride or die friend. And you just want somebody to pray that for you. Maybe you're here today and you are just so lonely. You're surrounded by people, but you're so lonely. Maybe you just need to be reminded that Jesus is the friend that'll never let you down. And so the prayer team, they're going to be they're around in the back, and Thomas and I will be down front. And we'd love just to pray for you. And that if you get up and go for prayer, I just want you to know nobody's going to think, oh, I wonder what's wrong with them. But are they going to start to celebrate and say, man, I wonder what's right with them. I wonder what God is doing in their lives. And that we could just be vulnerable. We could be, oh my gosh, we can be transparent. If we can't be transparent here, we can't be transparent anywhere. Jesus Christ is the one true friend. He'll never let you down. And if you've never put your faith and your trust in him, we'd love to share with you how that can happen.